time I see you, I just wanna kiss you and hold you. Take you to my place, candlelight dinner. Then I spot massage your shoulder.
Baby girl, let's just get out of here. Take a little flight. Let's get lost in love. Let's go. My, it's no problem to hold you, tongue stroke you, please you like I'm supposed to. Touch spots that ain't ever been touched, and I won't stop till both these squirrels get they nuts. Hey, you know it's good when we freakin', king size squeakin', after I ease in. If you was with me, baby, 24-7, best believe that every single day would be a sweet day. Curry sweeter than a cheesecake. If you want beef, prophecy would be a beefcake. I make love to you till you fall asleep, leave you with sweet dreams between the sheets.
Was the night before that night. I was born on that day, but not last night. Once upon a time, I had my cash right. Plug called, he ain't act right. I'm far from a slow nigga in this fast life. He pulled up, I got low, hit the black light. Once upon a time.
What's good, everybody? It's your man Big Dog coming live natural, another True Players podcast with my brother Joey G on a beautiful Wednesday night. We are live. Little 10 late 10:30, 10:40, whatever time you want to call it. We just here represent for you guys. Giving you guys a little bit preview of our fourth year anniversary episode, which will be coming in 2 weeks. I will be in Vegas next week on some business and powerful training in regards to my business. So can't wait to head out to Vegas and chill and meet people and just to grow myself as a person, grow my business, and grow my pockets all at the same time, because development comes when you personally develop yourself. So on that note, I'll need that Joey G introduce himself to the people.
What's going on? It's your man Joey G back at it again on the True Players podcast. You know who I am. If you don't, check out Beer Combo and Family, the host of, with my host of True Players podcast, Big Dom. You know what we do. I drink and I talk about issues. I drink and talk about issues. I'm talking from life experience. This is a life journey that we're all walking through. I'm not an expert. I'm just giving you my opinions, and hopefully they can trigger something in you to give you a different perspective, hopefully a clarity on a whole situation, whatever topic we're talking about. True Players podcast, Beer Combo and Family, it's all one. So we back at it again. We're getting close to that 4-year mark on the True Players podcast. We're looking forward to that.
We're here now. Right. We're on season 5. We're here.
we're looking for more content. We're looking to have more exciting conversations with our guest co-hosts as well as new co-hosts to join the show. It's been a journey. I love being in the passenger seat when this first took off. I was a fan from the beginning, and not only that, it inspired me to do my own, to branch off, but collectively move forward as a conglomerate. So we're going to make that happen, give you some more interesting conversations and more perspectives to talk about, and that's why we're here.
All right, Joey G, given what he's going to give on the actual 4th year anniversary episode in the preview. But listen, we could always do it again. I hope to have many guest hosts on, people who've been on my show before, even new people. I will talk with the next few days, try to get a lineup up here. The podcast, I believe, is going to go about 2 hours live, and we will go from there. But before we start with our podcast today, I want to talk about Keith Hernandez, New York Mets player, played for the New York Mets from 1983 to 1989, finally getting his number retired on this past Sunday. His number was retired. He had his brother there, his nieces, his daughters, nieces and nephews in attendance. It was a very beautiful ceremony, sunny outside. A lot of his former teammates was there, from Mookie Wilson, Ron Darling, Tim Tuffle, who else? Lynch was also there in attendance too. I was surprised we didn't see a lot more teammates there, but I understand why they didn't show up. They probably had other commitments and things like that. But the impact of Keith Hernandez on the New York Mets and those 80s teams led this team to win their championship in 1986. Granted, should they have won more in the 80s? Yes, they should have. They easily could have won three in a row from 86, 87, 88, and even 89. Okay. When the age came up. And the beautiful thing of it too, beautiful thing about it too is that they had the other first baseman in the 80s, the big time first baseman in the 80s, in attendance, Don Mattingly, in attendance in the dugout, representing Keith Hernandez. These two guys, Don Mattingly and Keith Hernandez, were the most dominant first basemen in New York in the 80s. The most dominant.
Number 41.
41 or 44, I think. For Mattingly, I think it's 44. Which Mattingly is also retired. His number was retired as well. And it's about time. This is the third or fourth Met player who got his number retired. Number 17 is retired, and next year, and next year is going to be Gary Carter's turn. You know, right. I mean, unfortunately, he's not here to live. He's not alive to see this, but he got to be the next one with his number 8 being retired up there in the rafters in Citi Field. I like what the new owner, Uncle Steve Cohen, is doing. Celebrating the New York Met history, celebrating the New York Met players. That has something been lost with the previous ownership, who seem to be in awe of the Dodgers' history and not about their own team's history. The Mets have been around since 1962. It's been 40 years. This team has built up enough history for them to be spoken about in their own light. And I felt the Steve Cohen, as the owner of the New York Mets, new owner of the New York Mets, who was a fan before he became owner.
Oh.
You know, he pretty much, he's from Long Island, from Great Neck. You know what I'm saying? So he brought back Met pride to this team. He's going to celebrate the older players. Hopefully he's going to get more older players back into the frame of things. The Mets got their first old-timers game for the first time in God knows how many years. You know what I'm saying? So I could speak, you know, glowingly about this. You know, I got Joey G over there with the Yankee cap on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's a beautiful thing. But I will say this, though, before we change, we segue. Don Mattingly, Keith Hernandez, in my opinion, should both be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. What was that? 153 hits, 222 home runs, 1,007 runs scored, and a 1,099 RBI.
Wait, who was that, Don Mattingly or Keith Hernandez?
That's Don Mattingly.
Okay.
And 307 lifetime average. Mm-hmm. What? I'm gonna correction. Mm-hmm. His number was actually 23. I should have known that.
Yeah. I didn't know that because I'm not a Yankee fan. Wish my guy Mark was on the podcast as well. He definitely he's a big time Yankee fan. He'll definitely bring some light to this as well.
I was never good at the stats. I'm sorry. I just like the team. Never good at the stats. That was between you, Christian, Matt, next door neighbor. I can't. Your next door neighbor. Drew,
yeah.
Y'all all with the stats. I was sitting there like, it is what it is. Did they win or lose?
There you go. So definitely, we're gonna segue into the podcast right now, bro. We're gonna talk about. I don't know if people watch P Valley. I had a little discussion with the significant other about this and about the aspect of cheating. Okay. There was a scenario in which the coach, it was a basketball coach or whatever, comes to the strip club and propositioned the stripper named Mercedes to have the Mercedes experience in which she comes, but he's paying her to come to his house and he'll do what he gotta do with her and pay her some money. Mm-hmm. In the first season, she did not want to do that because she was focusing on leaving the stripper game. And leaving the stripper game, but something that happened in which her mother, which she was having her mother hold the money for her, stole the money to build her church.
Right.
Which forced Mercedes to stay in the stripper game a little bit longer. And now had to do this misdeed, which I don't call her a homewrecker. Because that's, you know, but she did what she had to do to build that money up to build her dance school so she could be a better example for her daughter. I mean, the tactics doesn't really spell out good example, but you understand the sacrifice that needed to be made to get out of the stripper game. Mm-hmm. I've known strippers. Mm-hmm. You and I both know strippers who've been in this game for a long time, and all they want to do is leave the game. Right. At least the ones I know.
It's not a permanent thing. Not near one stripper that I know or was in contact with. It's like, this is a lifetime deal. No, it's made to be temporary, but some people get stuck in the game because it's easy money.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote easy money. It's not really, because all the things they have to go through, all the things they do, all the experiences that they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other part of that. So,
but okay. Do you equate the stripper game like the drug game in a sense?
Yes. They both are equally dangerous. They both. There's an expiration date on that.
Mm-hmm.
Just think, if stripping was like legitimate, like a showgirl, like on Vegas, a showgirl, they have an expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody new and upcoming, after a while, that talent that's on the top gets replaced.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going to be there forever and hold the number one position. Somebody's going to outshine you. So in the stripper game is same concept, except the new person coming in is taking the money that you were trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same. So and you getting older in the stripper game, you have to be more creative. You have to be more creative and more cunning as far as how you get money or build a stable.
Mm-hmm.
Build a stable of women under you, kind of like a pyramid scheme where one, she's the madam and everybody under there is paying her just for the protection, whatever the case may be, living arrangements, whatever.
You know, it's funny, bro. We used to talk about opening up a strip club back in the day. Mm-hmm. That was one of our first opportunities. Mm-hmm. We try to get together, open up a strip club, and I don't think people really understand or understand our knowledge in that game.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So we know a whole lot more that we're willing to spill on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll just say this. I'm a Joe when it comes to this stuff. I'm a Joe when it comes to this stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just the average Joe. Joe don't know nothing. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
Joe don't know nothing. No, Joe is the guy that's sitting in the back of the corner looking at everything that's going on from the front door all the way back to the back room.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes are open. I see everything that happens in the club.
Mm-hmm.
Though I'm just sitting there drinking a beer, you wouldn't even pay me no mind.
Right.
Because I'm not paying you any mind.
Exactly. but bro, let me ask you a question. You could definitely vouch for, you've been my wingman many times of my great adventures in the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we walked in and the owners of the strip club were threatened by us?
A lot. Mostly every time that we went. Because we had a different look. We had a different look. Mm-hmm. And not for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm clean shaven and everything like that, I come across, I was in the military, but I come across looking like a cop.
Mm-hmm.
The undercover cop. Mm-hmm. And that's been, I won't say it's been a gift all my life. It's been a gift. It wasn't a curse. It was a gift. It got me out of a lot of trouble, and it also kept that boundary mm-hmm. for the people that I didn't need to come in my circle.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But we had some great times, but let's get back to the scenario that I really should originally brought up. And I'm gonna explain to you guys the scenario, because Joe, I gotta bring Joey G up to speed.
Yeah.
In this particular episode, Pre-Valley, which was a great episode. You know, I enjoy seeing certain things, but the one thing that I want to speak about us men, mm-hmm. That we don't pay attention to our females. We don't pay attention to our females' movements. We don't pay attention to their thought process.
Body language.
We don't pay attention to none of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say things. One thing, one of my mentors who put me on this earth, I'm not going to say his name, because people get tired of me talking about him. But he always told me, Dominic, you're my son. You must learn how to study women. Women are not hard to beat. Mm. Men don't be watching enough. Mm-hmm. That's why the men always lose.
you know what? I'm gonna tell you, a woman that was in my life, I want to say when I was in the age of 23, told me something mm-hmm. similar. Mm-hmm. He's like, she said, you can't be gullible. You have to watch everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. They move like this. You move like that. Mm-hmm. Watch for this.
Mm-hmm. also, we as men, we got to take note of every conversation, because, you know, women play that selective, I didn't say that type of mentality, or they have plausible, they automatically have built-in plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. So every time a woman says something, take notes of what she said, because she's going to tell you in an argument when you bring it up later that she never said that.
Right.
All the time. It, clockwork, girl. Clockwork.
Listen, you could write that shit down. You could write that shit down.
You better record that motherfucker.
If you didn't record it, you fucked. If you didn't record it, you fucked. Because like you said, that deniability is a strong case in that. Plausible deniability is a strong case.
Professional plausible deniability artists.
I didn't say that.
Women always want to be right.
I mean, some more than others.
But you gotta understand something here, but people don't understand this, especially in relationships. If you're always seeking to be right, you're never trying to look for the solution.
Right. I'm not gonna play innocent on that. I said as I've gotten older, more mature, in my living in life, as a father, as a brother, and just walking through as a man. You have to learn these things. You have to learn these things. Sometimes you pointing the finger all the time. It may not be the other person. It may have to take a second to look at yourself and be like, hey, I may be fucking up on some shit and I need to check that. Mm-hmm. So it takes, what do you call that? Accountability.
Accountability, yes.
Accountability is a big thing that a lot of people don't recognize. It's easy to point the finger at somebody else. It's easy to say they're the problem. But it's not easy to look yourself in the mirror and be like, oh, no, you were wrong for that. Mm-hmm. You were wrong for that. Regardless of what they did, you were wrong because you did such and such and such and such. Mm-hmm. So we need to get that under control. In mm-hmm. order to move forward and progress and be in better relationships and things of that nature, we have to take accountability for our actions. We have to take accountability of where we're failing at and try to strengthen those areas. If we don't, you're stuck in the same cycle. You may be repeating a cycle that your parents had before that, or relationships that you've had before, you're just carrying them on. Mm-hmm. Or you could be one of those people that's like, fuck this, I'm not taking this, and you run off.
Exactly.
And try it again with somebody new.
Absolutely. But yo, let's dive into this particular subject, because me and the missus had a little disagreement, mm-hmm. and it became something that I was advocating men cheating. I did not advocate anything, but this is the scenario. This coach, proposition Mercedes for the Mercedes experience. He basically wanted to pay her so he could fuck her, on the side.
His bad.
But the thing is that with Mercedes, but she was slick though. She said, "Let me ask your wife's permission, to make that happen." She meets the wife, right? They had their first experience. At first, the coach was, you know, doing his thing with Mercedes. Then the wife creeped in and jumped in.
Right.
The coach wasn't upset. He was enjoying himself.
Right.
Which is, you know, it is what it is. But this is where the coach, because his wife involved herself into the situation. She wasn't invited. She involved herself into
the situation.
No. Hold up. Time out, though. She involved herself because she was aroused.
Okay.
However, his intent to cheat was evident. His intent. Listen to the words. Intent.
His bad.
His intent was evident. But in the grand scheme of things, did he really cheat because she jumped, she joined the fray? Is he really cheating on her?
We're calling a technicality. It's almost like getting a flagrant foul on the basketball court. You just did a flagrant. We seen it.
Yeah.
Nah, we all good. We just joke around like that. Nah. That was flagrant.
Listen, that's why they got flagrant ones and flagrant twos. You're gonna bring the basketball analogy. I'm gonna tell you the truth. There's a flagrant one and a flagrant two. What he did was he was trying to do flagrant two, but ended up being a one because she jumped in the frame. All right.
Right. The blow was lessened. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was off. How to say this? It was offset.
Mm-hmm. It was offset.
Not that he was innocent in the situation. Not saying that his actions were justified, but in that circumstance, he was ousted from that situation. So he was one up. So in that, it kind of canceled each other out, in my opinion.
But the thing is, bro, he opened up Pandora's box, because now Mercedes and his wife was having their own escapade together on their own.
That's his fault.
You know what I'm saying? So a homeboy when he was doing his Mercedes experience for the second time, and he noticed that his wife was more into it and was trying to take over and shit, he got caught up in his feelings.
Which tends to happen when you're not in control. That's what his problem is. He was not in control of the situation.
Yes, that's a true answer. I was trying to think of the answer. That's why he got upset.
But he didn't have control.
But then again, it's his fault because he invited a situation, not knowing the consequence that may have come up in a negative for him.
Right.
And in essence, it did come up in a negative for him because he found out his wife liked pussy too.
Right. Now, mm-hmm. you've said this before. Mm-hmm. I've said something similar to this before. Play chess, mm-hmm. not checkers. Mm-hmm. In this situation, had you did your due diligence, mm-hmm. and worked out all the different case scenarios, mm-hmm. the situation may have been different. But you didn't. Mm-hmm. You assumed. You took one perspective of the situation, felt like you were in control of it, went into the situation, and that happened. That was a side effect of you not doing your due diligence. So how can you be upset at the situation for going in the direction it did?
Another thing, too, he got upset because his wife interrupted his fantasy. Now, if you were smart, if you was intelligent enough, you're not marrying these. You're not marrying Mercedes. You're just using her to have a sexual experience with this particular female who you were attracted to in the strip club.
Right.
I'm sure he did it with other girls too.
Right.
And the problem is he didn't play it right. He got caught up in his feelings, which a lot of men do when, you know, their female cheat on them or cheat on them with another female. I'm gonna use that analogy. So I don't think having a woman cheat on you with a man is a little bit different. Because that's more of a man's ego situation, this, that, and the other. But I'm not advocating cheating in any spectrum.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's kind of a touchy situation, regardless of gender, same sex or not. In those situations, cheating is cheating. Let's be honest. Cheating is cheating. If you're trying to construct something where you have the edge on the situation, you're in the wrong from the beginning.
Karma
is going to come around in that situation and bite you in the ass. You're wrong from the beginning.
Let me tell you something.
Now, there's ways to do this. Like you said, there's ways to do this. If you have an open-minded partner or whatever the case may be, and you've discussed it before and they're involved, the situation plays out totally different. But the consent of two individuals, the people that are in the relationship, have to come together on top of some type of agreement. If you're going to do something shady, get caught that you're doing something shady, and they say, you know what, fuck this, I'm going to join the situation and take over the situation. And she, you caught feelings? That's on you, bro.
she took it over.
Eat that.
Let me tell you, his wife, is a bad chick too.
Listen,
a bad chick too.
He's gonna have to eat that. That's a learning experience. You just lost that. Take that L.
You gotta be smart. You gotta be smart about situations. You gotta understand something too. If you're not into your wife or your girlfriend dealing with another woman, why open up that? Why put that box into play to open it?
Let's be honest. A lot of men have fantasies about that situation, but we're barely, as men now, and the newer generation, from our generation moving forward to the current generation, they don't have the maturity to deal with that situation. And the people in the situation don't have the maturity to deal with that. They don't have it. You can't say, oh, I want to be in this. You don't know what's involved. You don't know what's involved. You don't know what situations are going to play out and this, that, and the third.
Listen, did we talk about this? Did we talk about this on Poly World episode?
I knew it would come back to you.
Poly World, man.
The Poly World. This is what this is what Prophecy was talking about. And in his conversation, he was in control. He was in, quote unquote, he was in control of the situation. But were you though? Not to take anything away from his situation. I'm just saying, but in the spectrum that we're talking about, because we're relating the two, were you really in control of the situation, or was the situation kind of coerced in a way where it was a mutual benefit in the situation?
I'm gonna tell you one thing. I'm going to tell you one thing, bro. I'm gonna tell you one thing. I'm gonna let people drop their mouth going to drop when I say this. A man is never in control of a woman.
No.
Never in control.
No.
What he can control is how he navigates through that aspect to gain certain control in certain key points. He's never going to have total control. He needs to have some type of control at key junctures.
So basically, it's like a pressure point. If you're holding certain pressure points, they're going to move in a certain fashion, and you can predict how they move. But you're never really in control of the situation. Never. Never that.
Women know everything, bro. Women know everything.
Right. Most women have good intuitions about things. Mm-hmm. Whether they choose to listen to these intuitions or ignore them, that usually depends on the maturity of the women, the self-esteem of the women, mm-hmm. and where they are currently in their life.
Mm-hmm. But the things when you're dealing with a female, I'm talking about the heterosexual aspect of the situation.
Okay.
You could either use it in the other alternative lifestyle as well. Mm-hmm. But you gotta, don't put yourself in a position where you can't use plausible deniability as a man. Don't put yourself in a position. Because by nature, their women's intuition is running wild as it is anyway.
True.
A female who operates in a world of assumption is very dangerous for any man to deal with.
Very true.
It is also unhealthy for her as well. And I'm gonna tell you like this. Because her imagination or assumptions is going to go wild, she, instead of listening to what the guy is verbally telling her, she's gonna go on an assumption that she thought up in her mind. And she's not seeing the full picture. She only wants to see the picture that she draws up with her assumption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that in itself is why some men cheat on women with that. You gotta understand the intent of cheating too. Okay. There's some guys who wanna be like the big bad player, who wanna have a stable of women in their camp.
Mm-hmm.
Stable women in their camp. But there are some men who cheat to get their upgrade.
Mm.
This is what I'm saying. Let me repeat it one more time. There are men who cheat to create a stable of women to make that, to boost their low self-esteem with a manufactured ego.
Okay. Right.
Some men cheat with their upgrade. So when they cheat, their intent is to replace you.
Right.
And the same goes the other way too with women with men. And that happens more often with women than it does with the man against the woman.
True. So, you know what's more dangerous as far as the women are concerned? They can move in silence when it comes to that aspect.
Okay, I'm gonna let you finish your thought. I'm gonna tell you why they that's the assumption they move in silence. The assumption we're not paying attention.
Right,
we don't. We're not paying attention.
Right, because we're so focused on what we do. But I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not like a young buck anymore. Like I know the plays on the board. Mm-hmm. If this was John Madden, we know the basic. we know the basic playbooks. Mm-hmm. You know the basic playbooks. I mean, there's more advanced playbooks and stuff like that. There's the Madden playbook. I mean, but we talk about practice and special teams. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's men who got that unstoppable West Coast offense, and the impeccable defense to back it up, and they're ironclad. Trust me, I was raised by one. I was raised by one. You had to understand that, man.
Listen, when all your ducks are in a row, mm-hmm. this is what I know for a fact. Mm-hmm. If all your ducks are in a row and everything is taken care of, mm-hmm. and there's no room for margin of error in the aspects that you're supposed to be taking care of, mm-hmm. there is not much that you can go against. You can go against that and you say, oh, fuck it, I'm done with this situation, but you're going to have to start over and hope that the next person does said things in the next relationship.
See, what you just said is factual And that takes a level of maturity to admit that. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we at an age now, we're smelling 50 right now, bro. We're smelling mm-hmm. 50. You know what I'm saying? It comes to a point, if you don't settle down with that one person, something is wrong with you.
True.
And I put it to you like this, also, when it comes to that situation. Because there's some men out there who get married, who got their girlfriend or whatever. No, they're married. I'm not going to say girlfriend. They're married. They want to see if they still got it. They still want to see if they still got the game and shit like that. At that point, my opinion is, if you want to see if you still got game, why the hell you put the ring on that woman's finger?
Right.
Why'd you do that?
Right.
Does that make you feel empowered? No, dummy. What she gonna do is take when she get tired of your punk ass, because you know the magic window was 10 years for alimony. Mm. God forbid you got kids with that woman.
Well, depending on what state you're in.
Yeah,
because you don't have, you could be living together and mm-hmm. you could find yourself in a domestic marriage. And still have to pay alimony, depending on the state.
then you got to answer alimony and all that shit just because you want to prove, just because you want to see if you still got it. Mm-hmm. Women know everything. It's just a matter of how far they're going to let you hang yourself.
I think the one thing I remember my uncle saying growing up, my father that raised me. Mm-hmm. People give you enough rope to hang yourself. Those who can see the whole situation will give you enough rope to hang yourself. Mm-hmm. Oh, you think you got away with it? Okay. Keep going the way you're going. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Going back to the Jada and Will thing with the entanglement. You didn't know, bro? Or did you not choose to know because you were doing your own thing?
I think he was getting his cake and eating it too.
And right. I feel going back to this situation, what we're talking about, he got in his feelings.
Are you talking about the joke? Or are you just talking
no,
about the
entanglement? The entanglement before the joke. And we're talking about the entanglement, you got in your feelings about the situation, but you were doing your dirt too.
Yeah, they were doing dirt. They were doing dirt. They're doing dirt together. Going to swing and swing.
Yes. This what we're talking about right now is coinciding with the other one. Mm-hmm. These are the consequences of those situations. Mm-hmm. Now throw it out. Oh, poly world. This is a part of that poly world situation. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to do this together. Yeah, but you don't know the consequences of. You get so comfortable in the situation like, oh, I can't sleep with her and she can do what she do, but I'm going to be over here doing this until it really affects you. Mm-hmm. You didn't put no rules on the table.
Right.
You and her did not put rules on the table where there was a level of there's respect and there's a level of, I'm trying to think of the word. Just a understanding between you and your partner mm-hmm. on how you're going to do these things. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that base and you walk into these situations blind, you're doomed to fail. You're going to be in your feelings. Somebody is going to sit there and be like, oh, I don't like it. And off the deep end.
There you go.
They're going to go off the deep end. Or that's what you want to do. Let me do me in mm-hmm. front of your face. Mm-hmm. Handle that.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because people, you know, not the prevailing thought is, the way women think, if they catch their man cheating, their response is, I'm going to cheat on him too. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say this. It's not the same. And you know where I'm going with this. You know exactly where I'm going with this.
I'm not gonna
go deeper. I'm gonna tell you, I believe we're at that line right there.
No, I get what you're saying. I get exactly what you're saying. One is a personal attack, mm-hmm. if you will. One's a personal attack, the other one is just simply like, I can't really get this scratch. Mm-hmm. Can you really scratch my back? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things I have to get off and I'm done. Mm-hmm. Quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I could be done with that. Mm-hmm. But I need to get that out.
Mm-hmm. You thought. I know exactly where you're going with this, and you know where I was going with this. I don't want to get attacked and shit like that. But and then be accused that it's okay for a man to cheat on a woman.
No,
I'm not an advocate for cheating.
Neither am I.
But let me explain something to you. People complain about double standards. Mm-hmm. Double standards were created when a woman was made. Okay, that's something that you got to deal with. It's in the Bible. The double standard was created the time that God took the rib of Adam and created Eve. Okay, you don't see both sexes bearing children. That's the woman that bores that goes in labor, carries a child for 9 months, and goes in labor. Mm-hmm. Not the man that does that. Mm-hmm. Men, both men and women don't have the same sexual body parts. Okay, people talk about double standards. We are made different. So when two people are made different, the double standard is created. The only time there's none of this, the only way there's not a double standard is when everything's the same.
Right.
So we need to get off this thing about, oh, men can do this, women can't do this? There's a reason why women can't do certain things that a man can't do. There's a certain reason why a man can't do what a woman can't do.
Right.
Just deal with it.
I think that the correct way to say it is everybody has a role to fill, and you need to figure that shit out. Fill your role. Stop trying to get in roles that you do not fit. This is across the board, not just men and females, males and females, but there's a lot of people that don't know their position in life and need to figure that shit out.
What did the Rock say? Know your role
and shut your mouth.
That's both ways. That's not just for the women, it's for the men too.
It's both. It's both ways, and not just in relationship. It's just in life in general. Know your position.
Mm-hmm.
Play that shit to the best of your abilities. That's where we need you at. Mm-hmm. That's where we need you at. Fill in the gap. Yes.
Fill in where I can't fit in, not filling where you can't fit in.
Right. You know, and if not, we'll find somebody else that can fill that fucking gap, and we'll make this shit pop.
The problem, the issue that fall apart. We talk about relationships a lot in this podcast. We did two episodes of Secretive Marriage, and what seems to be failing, what people seem to not understand, is that when you marry somebody, you're not two separate people. You're one entity.
You have to work as one. let's say it this way: you have to work as one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't do that. They still come into the relationship or marriage in the assumption that they're going to live as an individual within the relationship. No, No, unless you're going to work, that's your individual status when you go to work.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with home stuff and the family stuff and the day-to-day stuff together, when we're dealing with bills and everything like that, now that's the unit stuff. Us together as a collective. Mm-hmm. When there's decisions to be made, that's a collective situation. There's no more individual in that situation, because if it was an individual situation, what the fuck you need the marriage for?
Mm-hmm.
Individually, y'all can both co-parent on a situation. Individually, y'all can both find your own places, and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Individually. But you decided you wanted to get the married, so now you're one.
Mm-hmm.
Living under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
You have to coexist. So y'all have to come up with rules and regulations that y'all both agree with.
Mm-hmm.
A constitution, if you will. Some amendments because of the time. As we grow older, some things can be amended and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you got to come up with a plan between the two of you. Yes, becoming one mm-hmm. entity, not individual. It's no more individual. When you walk out that door and, yes, you go to work and everything like that, you're still part of a unit. You're not an individual anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The non-communication, not calling or talking to and stuff like that, that's not cool.
And when we say communication, make sure you spell things out. Spell it out. Take your time and spell it out.
Listen, I've always been empathetic to a lot of different things.
Spell it out, ladies. Please, spell it out.
There's certain things that I can predict. There's certain things that I can put together. But I'm not no motherfucking mind reader. I'm not. As much as I would love to claim that shit, like psyched, that's my ability right there. I can piece the shit together that it almost sounds like I just predicted this shit. But I'm not psychic. Never. I've never been psychic in that aspect.
True that.
And when it comes to relationships, you can't sit there and fucking, oh, you mean this. Don't be in your fucking feelings and come up with an assumption in your head and say that's what it is. Because you painted the picture in your head and that's what you see it as. Mm-hmm. No, you never asked questions. You never did your due diligence and mm-hmm. did your analytics to find out the situation from the other perspective. Mm-hmm. And you have nothing to base it off of.
You know what I realized, bro? And a lot of things in my situation, I like to ask questions to get clarification. Not because I'm stupid, not because I didn't hear what you said. When you respond to me, say, I told you this. No. The reason I'm asking the same question 2-3 times, because I want to make sure you understand what you want me to do.
Right. Understand exactly.
Exactly what you want me to do. So when I do it, you're not going to be upset at me and say I did it wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why I ask clarifying questions. Whereas in my scenarios with different women, they ask confrontational questions.
Listen, I can ask you all the things. I could probably write it down from a step one all the way down the list and go through the list in my mind, go through it how I saw what you just told me, and be totally wrong in the situation because the way they saw it was totally different from the way you wrote it down descriptively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, the clarification that needs to be addressed, that needs to be, if I have to take extra notes and fucking do a study hall just for that situation to make sense to me, that's what the fuck is going to happen. Regardless of your frustration, mm-hmm. we have to get this right so we can live in a pleasant environment.
And I'm gonna before we get ready to wrap up the podcast, so I'm gonna say one thing, bro, about women, especially black women. I love my queens, but they reach a certain status in their lifetime. They got money in their pocket. They come from the struggle. They were homeless and they became 7-figure, 8-figure earners, and now they try to give relationship advice to younger women who are not in their ilk as far as financial wise is. Try to give women relationship advice. Tell them don't be with a broke man. But then again, you seem to forget where you came from. You were once broke too. How about that? Oh, by the way, do you have a man in your life that you can say that's your man? While you give all this advice to these women? I'll wait for that answer because I already know what the answer is. So don't sit there and try to give advice and play hate on the advice that you give to other women. You know what I'm saying? Women in a relationship, with whether it's you dating a woman, you dating a same sex or whatever, you need to be with the person who you want to build with. Like I said before, It's when you become a marriage, when you get married, you have the wedding, then you become a marriage. That's when the transition becomes two people to one unit. Okay? So, for all these ladies who are going through a little bit of relationship issues and things like that, don't take advice from a woman just because she make a seven-figure, eight-figure income. Don't take advice from her. Think that her advice is gold, because chances are she ain't got nobody. Okay? I don't want to hear those same women saying that, oh, they're intimidated by my money. No, they're not. You're a problem. You're toxic. A woman's bank account does not make her less toxic. Okay? So be mindful of that. Listen to your advice. Listen to your instincts. We all been given a gift of intuition and instincts. Use it. Don't seek advice from people. Does a rich person seek advice from a broke person? Think about that for a second. Think about that for a second, ladies and gentlemen. If I'm trying to be a millionaire, I'm gonna be around niggas who make minimum wage? No. I'm going to go sit with the billionaires. That's the same thing with these females. Granted, they're of high status because of their bank account. But these are women still trying to find their Mr. Right. Okay? They can make all the excuses about the guy was rotten, this, that, and the other. But then again, by the end of the day, that was your choice. Take responsibility for your choices. I think Joey G's sound is out. I'm gonna keep talking. But if any of you ladies don't like what I say, please feel free to join me on the True Players Podcast. There's an open invitation. It can get real saucy. And I promise you, I'm gonna stand by what I say because it's facts. You know, granted, I could take some lessons from these women as far as finances go, because they came from rags to riches. Of course, I'll take advice from that. But as far as relationship-wise, no, I'm not with that. I don't want to listen to what you say. And I don't want my girl listening to what you say. Because you bring toxicity, you bring your unhappiness and toxicity into our relationship, it's going to be a problem.
I think a lot of people fall into the trap of talking to people that don't have the relationship longevity experience to weigh in on a relationship that seems to be rocky. When we're talking about people that have been married over a period of time, that have gone through something and continue to struggle, but they're still together and they're moving together as a unit, those are the people you want advice from. Those are the people you want to talk to and say, how did you work through those situations? Can you give me some advice on something similar that you went through, and just help me deal or cope with the situation? Mm-hmm. Those are the perfect people to talk to in those situations. Mm-hmm. Not talk to somebody who is fucking five baby daddies in, not in a relationship, and fucking just hurt. And see you in a relationship and secretly hating the fact that you're in a relationship, and her advice is, oh, you just need to cheat on him and leave him and blah, 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 blah. All that fucking negativity bullshit.
It's rampant, though. It's rampant in our community, and that's why. That's one of the reasons why we don't have strong relationship backing right now. And another thing too, I'm gonna say another thing too, is that these women are seeking revenge on what their mother or grandmother went through in their lives with a cheating husband as well. That's not your battle. First of all, that's not your battle. That's your mother or your grandmother's battle. That's not your battle.
But they usually carry it on like it's a fucking shield. They're carrying the fucking banner of this is the Clan MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod.
Let me tell you something, bro. I I've had this one female call my mom a weak woman. Oh. I was like,
how do you define, how do you define, why would you define it like that?
And
I would love to hear like a conversation. I would just love to have a conversation so I could just listen to that part.
And I brought my mom. You know what it is, bro? I told my mom about this shit too. My mom tell me, Dominic, let me meet this girl. She met the girl. Mm-hmm. The girl got four kids. Mm-hmm. Three different baby daddies. Mm. My mom looked at it and said, before you sit there and call me weak, were you at any point, she told this girl, yo, before you sit there and call me weak, you talk about me, you don't know my plight, you don't know my struggle, you don't know my hustle, what I did. Don't sit there and call me weak when you sit there, open your legs for every single man and have every man's baby. Don't sit there and tell me that shit. You weren't raised right. You weren't raised with proper manners. Granted, shit, you know, my mom was telling us, situations happen. You may not believe in abortion or whatever. You know, it's all good. My mom destroyed her.
Right.
But
in a proper manner.
You know, my mom, that meme when my mom sitting there with the fur coat, her legs crossed, that's exactly how she was sitting when she came to the girl. Exactly. He said, you know what? My mom told this girl, listen, I turn a player into a husband. 40 years.
Right.
But apparently you're not matching me.
Right.
Be where I'm at before you call me weak. And the thing, and she told this girl, I didn't even need him. I had my own money. Key. You know what I'm saying?
I think people's priorities as far as relationships concern, or the fantasy of what they believe a relationship to be, I think is far-fetched.
I'm gonna say one thing, bro. You've been around me all my life, yo. Mm-hmm. You've been around my family.
Right.
Why do these females try to test a man who's raised by a strong woman?
Because they're used to testing weak men. They've had weak men in their lives, probably their father or uncle, whatever the case may be. And they feel they can because they had women in their lives that fit that role.
But then again, a person like my mother and a person like my aunt will be in my ear and say, yo, go find another chick on the low. Don't tell her though.
Right.
Until you replace her. Then right. Then you tell the kicker to kick her away.
Right.
but this is women, the whisperers I get.
Women don't understand that logic either. I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. In an attempt to let the dust settle on what was just said, mm-hmm. and prevent something in the future, mm-hmm. argument, whatever the case may be. If you're constantly thinking in your head that something is going to happen, that you're saying, my mind, this thing is going to happen, it will.
Mm-hmm.
Your actions, the way you move, mm-hmm. and everything that surrounds you is mm-hmm. going to make that situation happen, because your mind is already accepted the fact that it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you're moving in a manner against what you're trying to do, what you're thinking inside your head. If that's not what you want, you need to stop those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stop saying these things out of your mouth, mm-hmm. because it will happen by your fault.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame it on the other person. Your words came to life.
Speaking things into existence.
Your words came to life. They may not have been even thinking that, but the environment that you created around you, mm-hmm. made the situation happen.
Mm-hmm. It's been a great podcast. I want to say one more thing, and I just forgot it. You know, old age. I don't know. I think it's probably me. We still recovered from the my second round of CV19, with the brain fog and shit. But I'll be okay. I'll put you like this, man. It's be the relationship. We're not knocking females who got children. With multiple men or whatever, we're not knocking them at all. Let's make that clear. There's some good women out there who just end up in a bad situation, and you know, some of these guys promised them the world, sun, moon, the stars, and then fell by the wayside. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna say this too, because I'm gonna add on to that. Mm-hmm. We're not just talking about the females in this situation. We're talking about the men too. Those weak ass men, mm-hmm. that feel entitled, mm-hmm. to fucking speak their fucking minds on relationships they're not in.
No. But the reason why I say that, because it's much more prominent from a female. You see the Facebook posts I see every day and shit like that. Motherfuckers called Meg Thee Stallion and shit like that. And then she gets shot by a short ass nigga.
Listen, I'm speaking off of what I've dealt with, what I've seen recently. Fucking weak ass dudes talking about relationships when they don't have one, when they've had relationships fucking fall apart on them. And they want to give relationship advice or talk about what they can and will provide if they were in the situation. If that were the case, you may still be in a marriage. If that was the case, you would still be in a relationship. If that was the case, you would still have a house that was a home. Stop speaking on shit that doesn't belong to you.
You know what it is too. We got a lot of men who are pretenders.
I told this to my daughter. I seen her recently. I said, I'm getting to the age where that passive side of me that is usually quiet on situations is starting to leave me. There's no more about fucking holding your tongue on the situation. Now I'm starting to speak that shit because you let other people get away with too much shit and they feel they can run all over you. Mm-hmm. Or others that you have relationships with may deem like, oh, that person is not going to do nothing. He's not going to say nothing about it. So I think I could do this and I'll be good. That's not the case, bro. I don't care how many beers I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Before we're gonna end the podcast after this point, I'm gonna drop right now. We're gonna talk about men. It's serious as shit, yo. And this is where a lot of these. I'm gonna defend the high value women as far as the high value financial and all that shit too.
That,
you know what I'm saying, I would defend them, because sometimes a lot of these men are scared of these women, because this is why the men are scared of the women, because women in that position are going to demand you to step your game up,
and you're not ready to
step your game up.
No,
you want to sit there and lamp and play PS5 and scratch your balls on ESPN. You know what I'm saying? And then you get guys, you know, guys who don't have that bank account who are willing to take the challenge and rise up to her level, get thrown to the wayside because of a select few niggas. On that note, we gave you guys a preview of the 4th year anniversary.
And what's to come in 5?
What's to come in 2 weeks? in 2 weeks. It's going to
What's
be
the coming five.
It's gonna be saucy. It's gonna be saucy. I would like to have a female on the podcast. Who will be that female that's gonna be daring enough to come on and join us? I would like to continue this conversation. I'd like to continue this conversation.
Bro, I thought I had some alumni that would join the show and be a part of our conversations and rip and run like we normally do, but I don't think they were a fit at this time. So in that, we have to find somebody that's willing to roll with the punches, that understands, like, yo,
not being your feelings.
We can't be in the feelings. We can't be in that. I mean, you could be as upset about the conversation and you could vent off the fact that we're having the conversation, but it's just the conversation that we're talking about.
And
when
we leave
this platform and we're talking regularly amongst each other, it stays where it was. We may talk about it as far as, like, yo, how'd you feel about that? And try to critique it to a certain degree, but other than that, ain't nobody catching feelings off the situation because we're playing off of each other. We're trying to get perspectives off the situation.
There's certain conversations I need to have offline, not on the podcast, where you feel the need to try to prove yourself, and the attempt to prove yourself, you encounter a person who was just not in their feelings, even keeled. You came with liquor swords. He came and swung that Excalibur 1,000 different ways without killing you. He just cut you.
I mean, conversations can be dictated however you perceive them to be.
Mm-hmm.
You felt the situation was wrong for your situation and uncomfortable, whatever the case may be, and that's what you felt, then that's on you. But end of the day, anybody that was on the podcast, this podcast, my podcast, for the most part,
mm-hmm.
does not catch feelings off the stuff that we say on the podcast. Mm. We understand that we're not going to touch and agree on everything that's said. We understand that. Coming into that, the purpose of that, coming forth and having a podcast, is because somebody has a different point of view than I do.
No punches held.
We're going to put it on the line when we're talking back and forth. Rhetoric is cool. Mm-hmm. Body gestures, how you come, your mannerisms, all of that energy for the fucking podcast. People love watching that. Mm-hmm. It was needed. What was not needed is to be in your feelings and to have for that to shine and be transparent. For that to be transparent. And that wasn't on the platform. Mm-hmm. That was on the persona that came on mm-hmm. to talk.
And
so moving forward.
and on that too, I'm anxious. I want to bring in author Sue Thomas onto the podcast. I know she's been I want to do her podcast with her. She's an expired author. She has 3 books that is out. Love to have her on the show. I'm gonna have, of course, my cousin V here. Definitely, we're gonna do the women's entrepreneurship. We gotta get that shit started, bro. I gotta get that shit started. That's my fault.
I would love to have my prima on the show, and just so you understand a little bit more about my family. Just to understand a little bit more about my family, the side that I really relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see.
Listen.
So you could see that as we get older,
mm-hmm.
we ain't got time for this shit.
all you got to do is bring on. All you got to do is bring on the show. I'm ready, bro. Just bring on the show. But I'm going to say something before we end the podcast.
Yeah.
Had we had your prima on that podcast with the other person who got in her feelings, I think the situation would have been worse, because I have a feeling the way how you speak about your prima, she don't hold no punches. She come with the gusto.
No, but see, in that situation, that would have been a conversation we had off air. Mm-hmm. What was going on? Or it might not have been a conversation said at all. Mm-hmm. Understanding what it was and just leaving it at that. Mm-hmm. See, the family member that I'm talking about, my prima, she's not with the bochinching, mm-hmm. the bullshit, mm-hmm. the gossip. She's not with that. Mm-hmm. Like if it's negative, she's not with it. Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about building. We're talking about growth as mm-hmm. far as entrepreneurship and everything like that. Perfect person to bring on the show because she's about that life. We're talking about somebody that's a cancer survivor. Listen, in stage 4.
Let me tell you something, bro. That will be our 4th year anniversary episode, entrepreneurship and branding. That's gonna be the 4th year anniversary podcast. Let's get her on the show. Let's get her on the show. So we're trying to get expiring entrepreneurs on the podcast. Let's get it done. That's it.
That's it. We talk that's to it. Her, see if she wanna be a part of the next episodes and moving forward and everything like that. I know she's doing her Instagram thing and she still has the Yaya Designs mm-hmm. where she does catering for parties and she does party boxes and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I've posted on the True Players, I think on the True Players podcast and also my Beer Convo and Family and my personal page mm-hmm. Of what she brings to the table. So hopefully people just acknowledge that, pick it up.
Got you, bro. Got you. We're going to talk about that offline, bro. We're going to definitely talk about that offline. On that note, any final words, bro?
Listen, I've heard Nipsey Hussle say this is a marathon, and he wasn't lying when he said that. Mm-hmm. This is a life experience that we all have different experiences going through. Mm-hmm. My one experience does not outshine the next person's experience in life. It is not the blueprint for the next person's place in this world mm-hmm. for them to walk the line mm-hmm. to the end of days. But we can actually listen to each other's point of views and the different things that we're walking through in life mm-hmm. to find easier ways to maneuver through it. Mm-hmm. That's all we're here for.
Exactly.
With that, working with each other to make everything easier, our children, mm-hmm. what else do we have? Cut out the jobs. Mm-hmm. Cut out the jobs, cut up the money making and all of that situation. What are we trying to do in this life? We're just trying to make sure our kids are better than ourselves, trying to get to a station in our lives where we feel that we've accomplished as much as we could have or gained knowledge to the point where we're consistently learning. Mm-hmm. Never really fully meeting your, even being a teacher, if you mm-hmm. a teacher, professor, you're still also a student. Mm-hmm. Don't say that I have the status of professor because I've got my degrees and this, that, and the third. No, you're still a student. You're still a student of this life game and be humble in that. Mm-hmm. If that's anything that I'm going to leave the people in the podcast with, it's that. Be a student first before you're a teacher. Listen. Mm-hmm. Listen before you speak out of your mouth. Listen. Let it resonate in your head. Don't come up with assumptions in your head and say that is life, because that's not the way it is. If you got questions, you need answers, you need clarity on situation, then you need to speak to find out those situations. But mm-hmm. don't assume. Don't assume. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is your man Joey G speaking on the True Players podcast, host of Beer Convo and Family. You heard my point of view. This is only the beginning. Until next time.
Got you. I'm just gonna piggyback on my brother Joey G, who eloquently said what he said. And it's very important because people brag about their upbringing. And someone from the outside who doesn't live in that upbringing, you feel me, views it as toxic. So why you gotta be careful what energy you bring into a situation. A person does not like toxicity, don't bring that shit to that person.
No.
It makes no sense. Also, like Joey G said, listen to each other, love each other, be there for each other. If you have a disagreement, sit down and have a conversation, not a shouting match. Come together to come up with a solution. We need to stop being in the mindset of being right and who's wrong.
Right.
In that mindset, trying to prove that. Let's come up with a compromise. Let's come up with a solution where we could both walk away and still love each other the same way we were before we had that little argument before.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're asking. Okay. I want to give a big shout out to my brother Joey G. Big shout out to my new co-host Just J. We'll give a shout out to guest co-host Kyle, Mars, Live Neutral, Miss Nadia, Carmine, Hanif. You know what I'm saying? Matthew. You know he did.
I wasn't there for that. I missed it.
Matthew, I'm calling you out, man. We need to do a big New York Knicks episode, man. And New York Mets episode again. And this time we gotta do it live, my brother. We gotta do it live.
I wish I had Paul because I would try to get Spike Lee on the conversation too. Like Spike Lee. What are y'all talking about?
If I get Spike Lee on the podcast, I love to do that too. Why not? I would add the first set question I would ask Spike Lee is, Spike, you got enough money to be the owner of the Knicks? How come that hasn't happened yet?
Save it on Instagram.
Just saying.
Direct message on Instagram. Spike, we need you.
We need you. Spike, we need you to be the Steve Cohen of the New York Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Be a fan. Come in there. I don't want to hear that Dolan don't want to sell. Dolan is a buffoon. Okay?
Listen. I'm pretty sure you can be crafty with that situation because there's other people in your echelons that would love to see that person removed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, it's your man Big Dom. You can listen to the podcast on Anchor, iCloud. This damn brain fog. Joey G Radio, Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
SoundCloud. iHeartRadio, okay. TuneIn Radio. what else? Well, at this point, I'm sleepy already, man. I'm ready to knock out. But on that note, I'm gonna sign up on this podcast. Stay tuned because there will be a episode before the 4th anniversary podcast. This is season 5, episode number 2 of season 5, ladies and gentlemen. So myself, me, and Joji, we sign off. I'll catch y'all the next episode. Peace.
Get brighter, then bring it down hard. Someday.
What are you doing?
Dance off, bro.